It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Larry in behind the Green Country Gardener microphone, green thumb on each hand. Good morning, Larry.
Yes, green thumb on each hand. Good morning, Charlie. How are you today?
It's a good day in the neighborhood. We got a little bit of rain overnight. Over the last 36 hours, about 3/10, 3/200 of an inch officially at the Bartlesville Airport. Copan got about an inch and a half yesterday morning, though.
So. I think we got more than that. Let's get some rain reports in this morning.
Okay.
Well, I know there's a bird nest on the rain catch over at the airport, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
looking at the Oklahoma Messonet, let's see, over the last 24 hours, 1.66 in Copan. What is that, 9,400 hundredths in Veneta, 8,800 hundredths in Miami. No water reporting 24 hundredths. Tallulah showing 57 hundredths.
So we've had some good rain.
Yeah.
Excellent.
7 hundredths in 4 Acre, 15 hundredths in Newkirk. So around at least the northeast Oklahoma area, rain reports vary. 99 hundredths of an inch in Tulsa. And your backyard rain gauge will vary.
Sure. Yeah, because golly, it can vary from one place to another rather quickly.
Yes, it can.
We've been had some storms at the nursery before that would rain on the one part of it and not on the other. I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's
happened before. So, okay, anyway, it's time to get the soil ready for annuals and perennials.
All right.
But not today. But anyway, it's
not a good day for the feet of the gardener. They'll be muddy.
Exactly. But a good day to have the materials delivered to the house so you don't have to carry it. So.
Okay. You deliver things like mulch.
Yes, we do. No charge.
Yeah.
Mulch those beds, too, but...
Not today. Okay.
Actually, it'd be a good day to put down pre-emergent and weed killers. Good day for that.
Sure.
Because there's a good moisture in the ground. It'll integrate into the ground a lot better. A good day to fertilize those shrubs, too.
Okay.
See, after a rain, what are you, nuts? No, really. The ground moisture is good, and you have to know really how fertilizer gets into the soil. It gets into the soil through a process known as diffusion.
Yes.
And as long as there's moisture in the soil, the fertilizer will be effective. So this is a great time to fertilize your shrubs.
Okay. And besides that, fertilizers are salts, and those salts need to be able to dissipate and diffuse so you don't have high concentration of a salt sitting on your ground.
So things like boxwoods, nandinas, dwarf yaupon hollies, and things like that could use fertilizer. Fertilize them lightly.
Okay.
They do better in poor soil. So anyway, but yeah, take it easy on the use, but other plants that could use it. Trees, good time to fertilize those trees because the moisture will let that fertilizer get down into where they need to be. And it may seem kind of strange, but water it after you fertilize just so it gets into the ground. At my house, I like to use milorganite on my shrubs.
Okay.
And it works. It's very effective. It lasts a long period of time. It's a little bit more expensive, but because it lasts longer, it kind of you recoup that expense over time.
For those that are not familiar with it, milorganite, it's a granular fertilizer that every time water hits it, it's a layer of that granule diffuses onto the ground.
Yeah, the numbers on the package are really low. It's like 4-0 something or rather, but
yeah.
Well, that's not much to that, but it keeps on giving. See, the numbers that are there is that which is immediately available.
Yeah.
And the organics have a reserve stock, if you will, that you keep on distributing fertilizer over a period of time. You get, say, for instance, a time-release fertilizer or slow-release fertilizer.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get on the package is what's immediately available. There's more to it than that. So, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So
what's going on at the nursery this morning?
At the nursery? We're getting all kinds of new shrubs in.
Okay.
Boxwoods. I think we've got about 10 varieties of boxwood plants.
Really?
But they're a versatile plant. I like to use them just for some green winter relief.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some varieties of the jade, the baby jade, the baby gem, do really quite well. And there's even one that's even shorter than that that stays really quite small.
Really?
So we've got quite a few selections from which to choose. We also have the tall ones. I know I have some winter gems at my house, some cannibalized from an old landscape.
Oh, no.
I mean, not cannibalized, but salvaged from an old landscape. Okay. And I just put them on the north side of the house under the kind of behind the cherry trees, mm-hmm. and just let them go. And they're about 5 feet tall.
Wow.
That's kind of what they peek out. And the windows are about that high, too, so it doesn't really hurt anything. And they're on the north side. Nobody sees them. So they're doing very well. I don't have to mow the grass there.
Right.
Because it's covered with shrubs and very little weeds, actually. So so that's one way to populate an area without having to maintain it. So anyway, they're doing quite well, too. So it's been a good year for, say, boxwood plants and dwarf yellow palms. They seem to have survived really quite well.
Good.
The dwarf nandinas did pretty good in some places and not so good in others. It depends on how much water they got this winter. So anyway, things are starting to come out. Also, we've got some new perennials. The tomatoes are starting to come in. The vegetable seeds mm-hmm. are in right there. You want to plant them a little bit later.
No.
We had some encore azaleas arrive. Some of them are exhibiting blooms at this point. A little early.
Yes, I would say that's a little early for...
Uh-huh. And a few dogwood trees. Got some of those in. We got a real nice one up by the front door.
Okay.
Just as you walk in. Beautiful, well-branched, perfect shape.
Gee whiz.
Dogwood tree.
That won't be there very long.
It's getting ready to pop. And we put a magnolia out there, and it sold. So
yeah.
So anyway, so things are starting to come around. We've got a good selection of stuff. The clematis vines will be in pretty soon.
Good. My wife will be looking for some of those.
We sort of like to get those in when it's a little bit later so they don't freeze. So anyway, another thing going on is landscaping. We're busy doing landscape work,
mm-hmm.
basically all over town.
All those plans that you drew up for people during the cold weather months, now those the plans need to be executed.
Yeah, it's been a little difficult to implement some of them because of the weather, but we're getting there.
We're good.
So you understand that when you're out.
Yep.
You can't work on the mud, so that's happening right now, too. Hostas and peonies in your garden, your hostas are coming up right now, so be careful where you walk. The little eyes are up and you can damage them, so be careful.
Don't step on the eye.
The peonies coming up, I noticed mine have come up, and they popped up through the mulch.
Yeah, I think, well, I've got one set that's about, I don't know, 2 inches or so, but one's up about 4 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when the weather's right, they grow pretty quickly.
Okay. Certainly. Yes, they do. So.
But it's time to get some new ones if you want to get some new and different hostas and things. We got some of those.
Some good planting opportunities on Sunday, Monday, even on into Tuesday. You'll have some sunny weather with temperatures generally in the 60 to 65 degree range for highs. So mm-hmm. some good time to be out doing a little bit of planting. And hopefully, if you wanted to plant something tomorrow afternoon, the ground would have dried off after that. Well, whatever your rain gauge says your backyard or front yard got as far as rainfall over the last couple of days.
Right. We've got also at the nursery, we have some Spartan mosquito eradicators. Eradicate your mosquito population for up to 90 days.
Wow.
The Spartan way.
Okay.
It's this outfit is in Mississippi.
Wow.
I think they know a lot about mosquitoes.
They would know a lot about mosquitoes, yes.
And this is...
Then I would say the same thing if they were in Wisconsin. I think for a while I really thought the mosquito was the state bird of Wisconsin. So, mm-hmm.
This comes in a little box, and you basically you hang it from a tree branch or something away from the house.
Okay.
And it draws mosquitoes kind of away from your area, and it works for 3 months. So you might get a couple of these because... summer, it's kind of long here.
Yeah, like, yeah, but
you know, good. You know why you can. Sold one yesterday.
Okay.
Customer picked it up, and I said, and he started to put it down. I said, I guess you want mosquitoes, don't you? You're putting that back. I said, put that back if you want mosquitoes. And he looked at it, and he's going to give it a shot.
Okay.
So this company has a guarantee on it. They do say it will work. So apparently they won't release something like this without knowing that it will work, but... And it's EPA registered and all that, so it's very safe to use too. So
it's something more than just an ultraviolet light and a zapper, huh?
Yeah, it's and crazy thing. Anyway, it's got all kinds of instructions on it, how to use it. So and it's pictures of how to do it, 1, 2, 3, and 4, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to work really quite well, and looking forward to it working well, so we can work out in our yards in the evening without being covered in mosquitoes.
Or just be able to enjoy the evening without being covered by mosquitoes.
Exactly, so now is the time to get this out there because it has to set patterns with the insects. So need to get it end of March, 1st of April.
Okay. Well, the 1st of April is coming up on Monday. Good morning, okay. Caller. You're first up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, it's a real simple question. Been asked a million times over here. Is it still early enough that you can overspray Roundup on the new grass?
You're too late.
Too late. Okay. I want to check. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
A little bit late for Roundup.
The Bermuda grass is up.
Sorry.
So sorry, you missed the boat on that one. But yeah. There are alternatives for that too. So as far as the weedy grasses are concerned, mm-hmm. if you get a spray bottle and apply it specifically to those grasses, you'll get a dead spot in your Bermuda grass here, but it'll grow back in.
And you in the past have kind of talked about getting like a cardboard tube. Mm-hmm. Maybe like what your paper towels rolled up on and get
as a shield.
Kind of spray through mm-hmm. that tube at what hitting exactly the plant you want to hit.
That'll very precisely aim it because it's always windy here and you spray Roundup, well, it's going to go all across the street and kill the neighbor's roses. So you want to have it in a shield like that would help too. Good work, Charlie. You remember that very well.
I talk to this guy every Saturday morning, Larry Glass. He has all this great information for me. Some of it sticks in my head. Some of it goes on through.
Yeah, the foxtail is coming up. Grass is coming up. There's a kind of a rather obnoxious grass that's coming up. It's sort of lies flat to the ground at this point in time, and it has a bluish tinge to it, and it forms a clump. And it's coming up now, so doing the shield with the Roundup would help get rid of that, too. So
we use, at this point in time, you'd want to use a post-emergent control.
Okay.
Typically, those are 2,4-D-based herbicides that you can use for the weeds at this point in time.
Since
I used them on my yard last week, and they're starting to sort of curl up and die. So
you covered this last week just a little bit, but since Roundup is so much in the news these days, it never hurts to remind people to read the label on that Roundup product. It says don't get it on yourself, and if you do, wash it off and that sort of thing, right?
That's true with everything, really.
Yeah.
So be careful with that. Don't try not to get it. And if you got the Nitrile gloves or something, if you want to really be safe, they'll work unless you got a hole in them, and then you got it trapped in there.
Yes, they do.
So just be careful with it and try not to get it on your skin or whatnot. Roundup doesn't stink. We talked about the chemicals. Mm-hmm. If it had a strong odor, we probably wouldn't have as many problems.
Okay. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Good morning. This is Tommy. I retired as a director of the National Cemetery, and what we did this time of the year, we would get a broomstick and an old cloth and put it at the end of the broomstick and in a concealed area, spray the Roundup and go and wick whatever weed it was that we wanted to kill,
right.
And that eliminated the spray.
So
it worked real well.
The paintbrush method. Well, thanks for your input.
Okay, thanks. You're welcome. Bye.
If it works for the National Cemetery, it'd probably work at your house.
You bet. So anyway, that's kind of the deal with the weeds in the yard. Right now, we do need to fertilize that fescue grass. Zoysia grass, be very careful with weed applications, especially pre-emergent weed applications. Follow the directions implicitly, because too much weed killer will set back your zoysia grass. I've seen people kill their lawns because I guess they forgot they put it down, they did it again or something. You want to be very careful not to over-apply.
I think it's just a tendency, instead of reading the label, it says if one quart per gallon or whatever the rate is good, then two would be better. Let's do three, you know.
Exactly. So, and zoysia lawns typically are dense enough. They grow into such a thick mat that we generally don't have much of a problem with the weeds in that. So.
Yeah.
So if you have opportunity, you have a sprinkler system, you might consider going with zoysia.
Okay.
Just for that reason primarily. But you do have to follow a fertilizer regimen for it to really be nice and thick and full. You just can't set it and
forget it.
You can't do that. No. And I like to mow it probably an inch and a half, 2 inches high.
Okay.
It's always a grass, really, for it to do well.
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Locally, 918-336-1400. We will continue with your phone calls coming up in just a moment.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment.
And achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry in for about the next 15 minutes to answer your garden questions this morning. Pre-emergent, post-emergent, and how much fertilizer to put down depending on your yard landscape situation. The vegetable garden will be coming along real soon for those cool season plants.
Right. Roses?
Yes.
Time to, it's still not too late to prune them back a little bit.
I pruned back my, the shorter ones.
Drift roses?
The drift roses, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Julia got a haircut a little while ago.
Yeah.
But I need to kind of refine it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Still kind of bushy and wild. But,
yeah.
So I think I'll cut her down a little bit lower maybe.
Okay.
It's getting hard to get in and out of the dry garage. It's getting a little big. So it's still time to prune those roses, today would be a good day for that.
Okay.
So, and I give them some fertility, too. They're really starting to grow quickly. So you want to give them something on which to live. And the rose fertilizer will help them prosper and do better blooms at this point in time. So go ahead and do that. Mulch also.
Okay.
A good idea to put it on the roses, too. And when pruning them, though, you want to sort of have them have an open branching habit without a lot of stuff, if you will, in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of branching in the middle. You want to kind of cut that out in the center and have an open, kind of an inverted cone shape, if you will.
Okay.
And hollow in the middle. So the air will circulate through and help keep the black spot and stuff down. Yeah. Even on my Julia, had a little bit of black spot on it.
Did she really?
It didn't hurt, though. But yeah. Just a little bit here and there.
Drift roses are somewhat resistant to black spot, aren't they?
Yeah, drift roses, just ignore them.
Yeah.
I have a... the other rose, home run rose I had in the yard, I cut it down really, really low this winter.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. That thorns all covered in thorns. Oh, what a mess. But yeah, I got it cut back.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot smaller this year. So yeah, it put it on all summer long, put it on a show. Not a very heavy show, but a good show of flowers on it. Mm-hmm. It did quite well. And the drift roses are kind of the same way. They sort of ebb and flow in their blossom show and typically, they do bloom all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, that's a very intense show, and then lightly throughout the summer, they do well. We planted some downtown between the Adams Building and the the big purple building.
Okay.
IC Building. I can't remember the name of that for a minute. And the drift roses just performed well all summer long out there. They did quite well.
If my wife wants to move one of them, is this a good time to move a drift rose? Or does it really matter?
Drift rose is a small rose. I think it'll survive okay.
Okay.
But some that are established.
This one's only been planted roughly a year, so
right, it'll be all right. Yeah, you can move it around. And today would be a good day to do that, Charlie. So
you
get off work, get over there, move that rose.
Just what I always wanted to do. Okay.
Just don't wait till July. Even though I think it will survive, if you wait till July, it'll still move okay.
Okay.
They're that durable. So good plants, the drift roses. I have seen a little bit of rosettes on the drift rose. Not much. They seem to be able to fend it off pretty well. And, of course, some of the others, the knockouts, are really susceptible to that disease.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, I've seen where the winter has killed off the section of the rose that was affected by the rosettes. It's easy to identify at this point.
Okay.
And those need to be just cut off. If you do it early, and if you catch it early, you can combat that disease pretty well. You just have to be on top of it.
Be out there looking at the rose plant every once in a while just to see what's going on.
Yeah, and that's kind of put a bit of a cap on rose sales, really, just that problem. Because there's really nothing that can replace them as far as color and consistency of color is concerned.
Yeah.
and their appeal. You just can't, there's just nothing out there, really.
Once you see rosettes on most varieties of roses, there's not really much you can do about it. Let it run its course and then replace the rose.
Yeah, I did see a little bit on Julia last year, and I cut it off, and it's not recurred. So you have to cut way down below. And managing the spider mites is a good way to do that, too, to keep it under control. And don't plant them in an area where they're subjected to a lot of hot sun, especially up next to the house on the west side. Because if you do want to plant roses on the west side, plant them further away from the house. What the spider mites really do like is a lot of warmth. That's why you never see on any of my landscape plans a dwarf Alberta spruce on the west side of the house.
It'll just eat them right up.
Eat it up, just quick as ever. But on the north and the east side, they do just fine. But on the west side, you might consider something different. Maybe Blue Mountain juniper or Green Mountain juniper or boxwood. Get it out. Green Mountain boxwood, perhaps, on the west side rather than a dwarf Alberta spruce.
Okay.
So that's kind of the deal with rosette disease. Is it is spread by it's a virus that's spread by a mite. And I don't know that they've really come up with a variety that's immune to that yet. I know they're working on it, and when it comes out, it'll be basically headlines. So
the mite really is just the route for that virus.
Exactly. Yeah. And the plants can develop a resistance to that also. Yeah, I've had knockouts on the north side of the house for a good number of years, and they're unaffected because the environment is not something that the mites are really attracted to because it doesn't get really warm quickly. So they go to other areas. They attack my boxwoods on the west side.
Here's a meal that tastes better and it's closer.
Exactly.
800-749-5936. We'll take our final break on Green Country Gardener and take your phone calls coming up in just a bit.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlee's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get. So here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen, a 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight, in the trunk, or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Locally 918-336-1400. And we have a call standing by, I believe. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, sir. Is there anything we can do to protect our fruit trees from this frost tonight?
What I'm going to do on mine is I've got some squirrel cage fans I'm going to put in the bed between the fence and the trees and shine that up on them. And that's probably the most you can do at this point. Smudge pots is another way to do it if you got any smudge pots.
a smudge pot or a bucket, light it.
Yeah, it's basically a big candle-like thing that you light up and generates a little bit of heat.
I've got a real tall pear tree, and I'd like to say that it didn't have no pears last year and don't look like we're going to have any this year when we get this fall.
Has it bloomed yet?
I haven't paid no attention to it, but if it hasn't bloomed yet, I'd be all right, wouldn't I?
If your buds are still fairly tight, you should be okay. But if the buds have opened and if they're wide open and in the process of pollinating at this point, you will get some loss. So
I thought about setting a bale of hay underneath it and set that where it smolders.
Well, the heat generated by that, if it's smoldering, it's just going to be just barely cold. Now, a lot of times they're really conservative with their estimates, and it doesn't get that cold. But I'm kind of banking on that with mine. I'm that they guess low. But I did that on my cherry trees one year. I put a fan on them, and I'd had cherries that year after that real severe cold spell. We had something similar to this.
I tell you what I thought about then. I've got a couple electric heaters. I thought about putting them under bathroom type heaters. I'd love to have some pears this year.
Yeah. And make sure you got a good 12 gauge extension cord so you don't start a fire.
Oh, I've got a 8 gauge.
Oh, that'll work.
That'll carry it.
You bet. That'll carry it real good. But actually, I've had luck, and I've heard and read about people using just electric fans, and that worked pretty well.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. But I know a lady who's going to park her smoker underneath there by the trees, and her son told me last night she's going to park her smoker and let the smoke blow up through it and the heat off the smoke. She's going to try that. She's got a pastry she wants to try.
I could do that. I've got a smoker, but mine weighs 1,200 pounds, so it'd be kind of hard to move.
Well, people, this pear tree I got has just, all of the pears are just like honey on it.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. You can't beat the taste of fresh pears. You can't beat that.
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Good luck with it. You might try putting your grill underneath it. That might work.
Well, I don't know, but I thought about even an old mattress. So an old mattress after when they smolder for days and days.
Oh, no. You want to be careful. You want to be careful with the fumes from something like that.
I don't know. Anything to help.
I think that smoker or grill might, but I don't think I'd do the mattress thing.
But I've had personal luck with just shining some electric fans underneath them.
I'll do that. I've got a great big fan I can put under.
Yeah, you get it low to the get it low to the ground and shine it up, and that'll take the ground heat. And because we're only talking a couple degrees, you really have to influence the change. And that should do it.
I've got a fan out here I can put under real easy.
Yeah, close to the ground so we can draw up that the ground temperature, the ground heat, if you will. And it'll moderate the temperature.
Hey, thank you very much, sir.
I'll go look at the buds, too. If the buds are closed, it's not that much that likely, right?
I missed it, sir.
I didn't pick up.
If the buds are closed,
if the buds are closed, you're probably all right. But if the buds are opening and you can see white petals on them, you might get some trouble.
Okay, man. Well, I appreciate the info. Hopefully, I have any pears this year. I'll bring you over some.
Oh, that'd be delicious. Thank you, and I'll have a jar of plum jelly ready for you.
You got plums? Oh, I'd love to have some plum jelly.
I got one more call. I want to try to get to, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I got one more person on hold that I want to try to get to just because they called in. Good morning. You're on with Larry Glass. Got about a minute. What can we do for you today? Good morning, caller. Well, they apparently, now that I got rid of one call, they didn't stick around on that one. I apologize. But anyway, had somebody on hold, wanted to try to get to them if I could.
Well, Charlie, we got all kinds of things at the nursery right now to look at. House plants, succulent plants, very popular anymore. We got a lot of those coming on.
Okay.
And fertilizers,
bug killers. We have organic bug killers, the spinosad and the other stuff, the neem
good,
oil.
Good time like of year that. To get down some happy frog, probably.
Happy frog, good shape on happy frog. We got pallets of that stuff, so it's really good for your soil, and it helps your plants grow along real well.
And again, just if you're looking for good garden advice, stop by. Larry, Gary, and the rest of the crew can give you some good advice and plant identification.
Some good advice, and we do make house calls.
Wow.
So we come out to your house and look at it. I know I have a very, very full schedule today.
I'll bet you do.
Keep the road. I'll probably take a full tank of gas. But anyway, Charlie, keep that shovel sharp. We shall see you next week.
Right here on Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning.
Osage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is.